Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
See, I can't believe you guys don't have the faith in that Titans-Jags game that I do. Welcome back. 104.5 The Zone, the wake-up zone powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Do kinda.
I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying I'm not going to blow out the Jaguars.
Yeah, you said blow out.
Yeah, I said, well, I said double-figure win.
Yeah, that's blow out these days.
One of our take three questions.
I've seen this offense.
It's waiting to explode.
This offense has been putting up a lot of points the past few weeks.
Yeah.
All right, this is the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. We have, of course, Blaine Bishop and Jason Martin, Jonathan Schaefer, our producer. I'm Kevin Ingram. We bring in Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus, the lead draft analyst for PFF. Mike, what's going on this morning?
Now, Mike, thanks for having me on, fellas.
Absolutely. And by the way, whether you love fantasy football, gambling, or just an armchair general manager, you go to PFF.com to get premium stats and analysis. Use the promo code RADIO and get 25% off your elite subscription today. So you know, you can kick around who the Titans might be looking at in lots of different ways and different position groups. Give us your thoughts on the kind of that group of elite college quarterbacks and which one might be available, you know, when you look at where the Titans might pick in this draft.
Yeah, I mean, if they really want to go get one of the top guys, they're going to have to make a, you know, Eagles-esque move, Rams-esque move, and give up a lot of draft capital to go do it. But I do think there are a number of guys in this draft that fit sort of the franchise quarterback bill, you know, the mold, you know, that will be drafted highly, whether it's top five or top 10 in this draft, and that we're high on here at PFF. And I think Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa, I think you can almost pencil them into the number one and number two overall picks at this point with what they've done so far this season over the course of their careers, or more so two over the course of their careers. But those two guys, we don't have a lot of question marks about. They're accurate. Pocket presence is great. And if you watch that LSU Alabama game over the weekend, that was probably the closest I've ever seen a college football game look like the NFL, because they weren't missing a lot of passes. You know, the offenses were electric. The amount of talent on those football fields were just insane. So I think those two guys will go one and two. I'm not sure the order, but I think that will be the case. And then Justin Herbert, I think, will also be a top five. If he goes to the Senior Bowl, he just has a different level of arm strength and arm talent, the Oregon quarterback. The ball just comes out of his hand differently than even Burrow or Tua. You know, it's like Josh Allen-esque in terms of what he can do. He's 6'6", 240, cannon for an arm. He's accurate, too. It's just more the between-the-ears stuff with him that's the concern at this point. So I think any of those three guys could be a target for the Titans. It's just, what are they willing to move? Because, you know, they're not going to be drafted top three, realistically. What are they willing to give up to go up and get their guy?
Herbert, to me, is really an intriguing guy because, I mean, as you described, his arm strength is amazing. You know, what about all the other intangibles it takes to be successful at that position in the league?
Yeah, so it's just some weird games throughout his career. He's done some weird things. I just remember last year had some just fell apart against games like San Jose State where he just couldn't complete a pass. Had a game where they were down by something like 35 with like 3 seconds left last year. He was out by a bunch of points. I think it was against Utah last year with a few seconds left, and he just takes a huge shot diving at the goal line. Like, save yourself at that point, dude. The game is over. And then there's a Hail Mary week one against Auburn where he puts the 10 yards out of the end zone. Just so his game situational management, something just seems off with him. And you see it in big games. He just falls apart. It has fallen apart in a number of second halves. But he's not like, you know, most big arm quarterbacks. He's not inaccurate. He's very accurate with the football down the football field. The Oregon offense doesn't even really take advantage of it much. They do a lot of underneath stuff. I think if he got into a more vertical offense in the NFL, could even have more success. But yeah, that's just something you got to vet, that sort of mental aspect of the game for him.
Mike Renner of Pro Football Focus is our guest here on the Wake Up Zone.
Well, Mike, I don't know if you've gone this deep into the quarterbacks this soon. You know, who are the second and third round guys? Because I think the Titans are going to use Tannehill as a bridge gap guy and then develop a guy. So what are some guys' names that maybe not on the radar that a lot of people would know their names would be that second, third round, that just that second tier of quarterbacks that could grow into it, maybe a starting quarterback in the next couple of years?
Well, it depends on who declares. You got guys like Jordan Love from Utah State, who had just a disastrous year. But he could come back for another season. A year ago, he had 30 touchdowns and only 4 picks and has some of the prettiest throws in college football. They're just throwing ball all over the yard so far this year in terms of his interceptions and that sort of thing. So if he might come back to school with Jake Fromm from Georgia, is in that sort of second tier. But again, he's only a true junior, could very well come back to school. He's super accurate, super quick with the football underneath, can run an NFL offense for sure, but it's the downfield stuff with him that's the concern. And then Washington quarterback, Jacob Eason, I think that's pretty firmly the second tier of this draft. He's another one, though, as a redshirt junior at this point after transferring from Georgia, has another year of eligibility left. I think he ends up declaring. I think he is the guy who will probably go out because they're going to lose a lot along their offensive line, and it could get ugly for him if he comes back to Washington there. But he's probably the closest in terms of arm strength to Justin Herbert in this class. I just worry about him under pressure. I don't think he's proved enough in terms of if you watch that Utah game, anytime pressure hit, he was a mess in that game. And that's something that it only gets harder. The pockets only get tighter in the NFL. You're only going to be under pressure more. So I do think that's probably the second tier. But like I said, all those guys return to school. So it could look like a really good quarterback class now and kind of just dissolve before our eyes when guys start declaring or not declaring in January.
Who do you think or what position do you think will be the strength of this year's draft?
I don't even think it's close. I think wide receiver position is utterly loaded. There's probably, I think in our top 25 in terms of rankings right now, there's at least 6 wide receivers in our top 25, 2 in the top 6 in terms of Jerry Jeudy from Alabama, CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma. It's just an absurd class. And again, a lot of guys, juniors, could come back to school, but I think a lot will declare. And I think it's going to be, you know, rival 2014. In terms of that was a class with Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, all those guys, Brandon Cooks, in terms of just productive wide receivers, it's just absolutely loaded. First and second round, you'll probably see at least 10 or so guys go.
Wow.
You're seeing some coordinators' names. Obviously, you're seeing Joe Brady's name out of LSU, but Greg Roman and what he's doing in Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. My only question about Greg Roman is this. Like, he's got a track record with Kaepernick and with Tyrod Taylor and now with Lamar Jackson of tailoring an offense to fit the guy that's there, to put that guy in the best chance to succeed. But I've never seen him do it, like, long term. Like, are you worried at all that these guys get figured out, that these offenses are a little bit too gimmicky, or do you think that this has staying power and we're about to see him actually get a chance as a head coach?
Well, he did it also at Stanford with Andrew Luck. So it's not just, you know, if you pitch Holman to running quarterbacks and having the quarterback be a rushing threat in the offense. The offense they ran at Stanford looked completely different. They ran actually a year with just Alex Smith at San Francisco. They had a pretty darn good offense there as well. So it hasn't just simply been these rushing quarterbacks. He tailors the scheme to the guy that's behind center. And I think that's, you know, the hallmark of any good offense coordinator. And if you just look at where his offenses are ranked, is that one with those guys of, you know, like you mentioned, Tyrod Taylor, Colin Kaepernick, now Lamar Jackson, the first two guys on that list could be had for free right now for basically any other team in the NFL. And he had above average offenses every single year but one that he was an offensive coordinator for those guys. So I do think that, yeah, the sustainability is a question mark. You can get, you know, above average production with a quarterback that no one else wants, that you don't have to pay, you know, a lot for. You can invest your resources elsewhere, you know, in defense, you know, offensive line, other sort of things, and not have to worry about paying, you know, a franchise QB $40 million a year.
Mike, how many guys that are right now pretty tenable quarterbacks in the NFL do you think might change scenery that have names that matter? Like, obviously, we've got Tannehill here, and we're talking maybe there's a bridge deal, but there's also 6 games in which he could prove that that's not necessarily the best move, especially with what it might take to keep him here. So who might actually be moving that could be worth it? Or is this not the best time for that because, you know, you've got like an Andy Dalton and what's that going to mean for you?
Yeah, I think that's more the thing. Is there are big names that will move. Andy Dalton, I fully expect Jameis Winston to probably be out after this season in Tampa Bay, Marcus Mariota as well in Tennessee. But it's like, do you really want any of those guys? I don't think that's going to be. Yes, if you have the Bears roster and you have one of the best defenses in the NFL and you're pretty damn close to winning a Super Bowl, but you have the worst quarterback also in the NFL, yes, and that might be something that you look into. But I think the other guys really aren't it at this point. The only one that may move the needle is Cam Newton, but his shoulder issues have been so just so bad over the course of the last handful of years. He really has not. I think you have to prove that to me that he'd be healthy first, because what we've seen from on the football field this past year just wasn't good. And so I need to know that he's fully healthy before I'd say that he's a guy that really is going to come in and change your franchise.
Mike, last few seconds here before we let you go, give us your top five as far as, you know, college players coming out. You know, if indeed, you know, I know someone's still to be determined as far as who's going in the draft, but if you were doing the draft today, how are you looking at it?
So we take into account positional value with our top five rankings, because I think you'd be silly not to. I mean, you're not just going to take, you're not just going to rank a running back number one overall when the quarterback is a far more valuable position. So we have Joe Burrow at number one, the LSU QB. Tua Tagovailoa at number two. Like I said, we feel very comfortable about both those guys being franchise quarterbacks at this point. Then Chase Young, the edge defender, the defensive end from Ohio State. I'd say right now that he is a lock to be the first non-quarterback taken in the draft. He is a rare, special sort of pass-rushing prospect, the likes of which we've been grading college football players for 6 years now. We've never seen anyone do what he's doing in college football, so I feel pretty confident about that. Jerry Jeudy at number four, the Alabama wide receiver. He moves differently than other wide receivers. He's probably going to run in the 4-3. Has absurd body control, what he can do. I think he's a surefire number one from day one in the NFL. And then Jeffrey Okuda, the Ohio State cornerback. He just has all the length, athleticism, and I think for his career is allowing something like a passer rating of under 40 against his Ohio State career. 2.5 years as a starter there. So he's pretty good in his own right.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot for the time. Really good stuff. We appreciate it.
For sure, fellas. Thanks for having me on.
All right. From Pro Football Focus, draft analyst Mike Renner has been our guest here on the Wake Up Zone. 9:46 the time, the Wake Up Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors, is coming right back.